Hey Mamas, I'm currently struggling with what I'm going to title this episode. Some current runnings in my head is music as we know it is dead. Or another one was, no, you didn't write the song of the summer. You are a slave to your record label. And I can't really settle on one. You can obviously see already in the title of this episode, but what has been brewing in my brain for the past, like, basically 4 years is how dire and depressing the music industry is. And I feel super qualified, and I feel like I'm going to have a lot of fun talking about this because I don't have any skin in the game at all. You never seen me, when views are down, announce a single release or be like, pre-save my song. And you, mamas, you can uncross your fingers because that will never happen. Knock on wood. I don't think I'm ever going to jump into a music career, and you can thank your whoever's up there in the sky for that, because I cannot sing. But I have a lot of thoughts on where the music industry is at, and maybe some of it will resonate from you. Maybe you've picked up on some of it. Maybe you haven't picked up on any of it at all, and I'm just a oracle that is all-knowing and is so tapped into the music industry with all the insider secrets that I have. We'll see. We'll see. And we'll get into it after this quick break.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So, to begin this thought train that is going to derail 14 times and kill 18,000 people, I just got back from seeing this concert movie called Stop Making Sense. It's from 1984, but was re-released by A24 a few months ago. And it's generally regarded as one of the best concert movies of all time. And I had heard Talking Heads songs before. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I'm the biggest Talking Heads fan ever. I don't listen to new music, or popular. No, like I knew a few songs. I wasn't fully tapped in, but I saw this just cause I like A24 movies in general and had nothing to fucking do, this Sunday. So I went and saw it, and I was brought to tears. It was the most beautiful, like, experience that I'd ever seen. It was like music and performance in the most purest form. And I was thinking afterwards, I was like basking in the glory of what I had just watched and the joy that it had brought me. And I thought, we're never going to have anything like this ever again, given the current rate of how music is. What I'm obviously going to get into is the TikTokification of, like, the music industry, how there are entire people who, mind you, a lot of the time are very talented, could create very beautiful songs and do create beautiful songs that become slaves to the music industry and are cast away to a life of posting 4 TikToks a day, trying their best to scrape the bottom of the barrel of creative ideas to get people to stream their song so they can get like a fraction of a penny for in streaming royalties. It is so depressing to see musicians that are like caught in this dilemma. So if you're not aware, the way, like, it goes most of the time, if you're not already an established musician, and I'll get into that in a little bit, when you get signed to a record label, you are at the whim of said label. You obviously make music for them. You might be set up to do 5 albums that you have to make. But it's not like you just get in the studio, you record your song, and then the label like does the rest. It like puts, it gives you a billboard in the middle of Times Square. You get on the Today Show and you get to do all this stuff. That is a thing of the past from what I gather now. Now, if you are a smaller, medium, or even large artist and you come out with music, your record label is forcing you to promote the song as much as possible. And in some cases, even holding you back from releasing new music until you've promoted your song enough and it has its viral TikTok moment. And it's crazy. It's almost antithetical to like everything that makes music so great. Some of the best songs and albums that I've been, and artists that I've been put onto are coming from such an organic place. And even some of the best, like, I hate to say it, TikTok trends and TikTok sounds that came out were not started by a record label forcing their signee to create 5 TikToks a day, being like, nope, guys, I'm serious. This is the song of the summer now. Like, that's not, it comes because it's a naturally good song, and quality just usually naturally rises to the top. And I know I'm looking at music historically with rose-colored lenses. I understand that, like, that wasn't always the case. Like, for example, whatever was in, like, the top 40 charts would have, like, a lot of payola. You could, like, have a rich uncle or, like, an uncle that was, like, in the music business. And then, boom, little Nepo babies, number 5 on the charts. I understand that that was a huge hurdle and like speed bump to get past if you're just like some random nobody. And in some ways, TikTok has made that like a pathway for artists. Like, you can come from the middle of nowhere, you can be freaking Gale and sing A B C D F U, and like, boom, you're opening for Taylor Swift. Like, that is a crazy thing, and that is definitely a positive and a benefit. But at what cost? Because from the very first TikTok song that I can think of, I want to say it was maybe, this was actually pre-TikTok, like that Bozzy Mine song was like, I just think you're mine, and it was like one of the first songs to have a viral trend attached to it. It was more so on YouTube, I think. Like, people would make these edits where like there'd be a bunch of fucking emoji hearts. I'm like really trying to see like where the value was in that trend and like what made people keep doing it, but I genuinely can't figure it out. But ever since that happened, and then of course the arrival of TikTok, the first TikTok song I can think of is like BB No Money. I'm sitting here crying in my pump. Okay, like I'm actually sounding like such an old head now, but like with the arrival of those, with like seeing what a viral TikTok can do to the streaming numbers of a song, and also the artist, it's been game over since then. Record labels only want these like artists for like the viral moment that they can create, and then they really don't care about them beyond that. And I see that in like so many artists that blew up from like one song and then are effectively like shelved by their record labels. They're not given like any more chances lest they can create another viral moment, because that's all the value comes to. And like I know from firsthand, I guess I do have a little bit of skin in the game here, because I used to do a bunch of these like audio promos, and I think I've talked about this in a previous episode, but like record labels very frequently reach out to TikTok creators with a song, and will say like, hey, we'll pay you XYZ to make a video to this. And the first one I did actually wasn't through a record label. It was from an artist directly. I don't want to like air him out. He's like pretty big now, but he like DM'd me directly and was like, hey, you want to make a song? Or he was like, what are your rates to like make a TikTok to my song? And I said $100. I was like, I just needed to eat at that point. So I was like, $100, please. And he gave it. I was like, whoa. And I think that was like the most that I had made from like a TikTok. And I was like, this is fucking crazy. And then I took it straight to Taco Bell and I got myself a big old meal. I remember it distinctively. I was like, wow, you can literally create food in real life from videos on the internet. What the fuck? So that was crazy. But since then, I've also done, I haven't done these in like, I want to say 2, maybe even 3 years. But I want to say 5 or 6 times, like, made TikToks where I was paid to use the audio. And like, sometimes there was a few where I was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe I'm like getting paid to use this song, because it's already like a good song and it's like a popular TikTok song, blah, blah, blah. But there's other times where it was like the most random fucking, like, almost like royalty free, like monkeys spinning monkeys, like Kevin MacLeod ass song. And I just like needed the coin, so I did it. But okay, my roommate is literally just took the fattest shit. I just heard the like actual turd like scrape down the fucking pipe into the sewer. Anyways.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
Sorry about that. I read this article recently-ish. It was like a few months ago, and it was maybe from Rolling Stone, which is like a kind of music-centered publication, but they were saying how record executives are becoming increasingly depressed that they can't find quote-unquote stars anymore. I don't know why I said quote-unquote, because I'm fully just like paraphrasing this, so not quote. They were basically saying they can't find stars anymore. And like, people like Olivia Rodrigo and Ice Spice are extreme exceptions, where most of the people that you would find in the top 40 now will probably never be in the top 40 again, because they are benefiting off of like a viral TikTok song. And that was so crazy to me to read, because this is a problem that they fucking created themselves. But at the same time, it's also inevitable, okay? We have this like amazing tool called TikTok that has the ability to put an artist on the map in the span of like literal hours, and then they're gone. The song dies off, and they create other music, and it could be good, but it's not necessarily like a TikTok song, so it never blows up again. And the cycle continues, and music dies, and art dies, and we all die. So that's like on one level, because that's like small TikTok artists. But I want to like be very clear. This is happening to big artists too. And like, oh my God, I have hiccups that are kicking my ass right now. I'm so sorry. There's big artists that are like being forced to make TikToks promoting their music too. Like, for example, like Grimes, like when she was releasing an album, I want to say like a year ago, had to promote the fuck out of it on TikTok. And she was very transparent. She's like, my record label is like forcing me to promote my song, so here is like a TikTok. And it was kind of funny, because I've never seen like, when you see these TikToks of people promoting their music, a lot of the time, like, to maybe like very naive eyes that aren't Drama Mama listeners, because we are fucking mega minds, you might think it's like coming from a genuine place. Like, I actually think I wrote the song of the summer. It's me. I did it. And I'm gonna make 4 TikToks about it every day. you might look at that and think that's genuine, but it's hard. It is. It's kind of like watching like a train wreck. Like, it's hard to see. And it's especially kind of hard to see when you fucking know it's not the song of the summer. Like, they play that shit and it's like, you and me under the sunset and I kiss your head and we're together, you and me. I eat your coochie. Sorry. Fucking getting so far away from that, whatever that was. I have a friend who, I'm not going to air them out, but they did the classic like influencer to musician pipeline. They released one song and it went kind of viral. There was a few like organic videos where the song kind of like blew up for a little bit. It wasn't for the best reasons, I'll say, but they literally could not put out another song for a whole year and a half. And they just put out a new song. And leading up to this like new song has been like weeks and weeks of promoting it and like doing these like little teasers and snippets and even relating back to the original viral moment of the first song to try and like have it feed into this new one and create something new. And even listening to it, like, it was a good song, but now my ears are just so fucking tuned to waiting for that one moment that I know is like literally manufactured to be a TikTok audio. And it's so annoying. And I'll get into that right after this next break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, like, obviously, like, self-promotion, you might be able to notice, like, ticks me off a little bit. And I think I'm projecting a little bit because I'm someone that used to self-promote like fucking crazy with my YouTube channel. I used to, yeah, I'm gonna fucking read myself, okay? At VidCon, before, when I had like 500 subscribers, I printed off business cards and was dropping business cards off at like every single table and every single chair saying like, subscribe to my YouTube channel. This is so embarrassing. I used to spend 3 hours usually, on a weekend, 3 hours on like a school night, like maybe like an hour, on Omegle every single night, just like matching with random strangers and asking them to subscribe to my YouTube channel. And I think I did this for like a year at least. And I think I gained like a good 1,500 subscribers doing this. And I want you to heed my fucking words. Do not do this, because I was like literally holding people at fucking gunpoint. I'd be like, hi, subscribe, please. And like, I would like, it's so weird, like, looking back at it now, like, I just wanted, like, the number to go up, I guess. Like, it was even beyond, because I wasn't making good content. Like, there wasn't anything to really subscribe for, which led to, like, a bunch of empty subscribers. Like, I'd post videos and they wouldn't watch it, because they'd probably see it on their fucking recommended and be like, oh, that's a random dude that, like, harassed me on Omegle and made me subscribe to him. And I will say, like, 1 out of 10 people would subscribe. So like, I'd match with 10 people and one would like actually subscribe. So like, there was something wrong with me, like, genuinely. And I think that's why, like, I think like this whole kind of like self-promotion issue on TikTok, I definitely am projecting a little bit of that onto it, because I know that level of desperation. And I've seen it in myself before, and I see other people kind of do this, and I get the same feelings, if that makes any sense. And I don't know what that says about me, but fuck it. Like, so I don't know why I'm like smacking my lips. Sorry, I put on like this delicious fucking mint lip balm, and I'm like, mwah, and I just can't get enough of it. Anyways, another artist that's like pretty big that is kind of like a weird conundrum to me is Troye Sivan, because Troye Sivan, minus his song Rush, which I cannot fucking stand, it makes me want to pour actual acid into my ears, creates these amazing visuals and pretty good music. I think his like new song Got Me Started, Get Me Started, like a lot of people shit on the sample, they're like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. But I thought it was fucking genius and I thought it was good. But it's kind of been soured in a way in my mind, because I didn't realize this because I don't get fucking Troye Sivan TikToks, but some people that I know were like telling me how Troye Sivan like is constantly just fucking promoing his song like left, right, and center, like a TikTok every day, being like, that moment from my music video when I, okay, I'm like fully making this up, but like it's along these lines, like that moment from my music video where I flashed my bum, stuff like that. And it's weird because it's like, it's so inorganic. And listen, I come from a weird place here because I love spewing misinformation on TikTok and I love blurring the lines of like what's real and what's not through the lens of satire. That sounded so fucking like pretentious. I'm so sorry, but like I fucking mean it. Like I love playing with satire, but this like isn't satire to be like promoing your songs and like being like it's coming from like a good place. And then, like, it's just, like, the most manufactured TikTok you've ever seen. I mean, like, guys, I'm serious. It's a fucking song of the summer. One example that I have with, like, Troye Sivan is there's this tube girl trend, which I also did not know was in existence. Like, genuinely, my For You page is, like, videos of, like, a fucking Oreo cookie getting, like, crushed in, like, 0.25 speed with, like, that underwater song, like it's incoherent. It's like shit that like people who got lobotomies would like find funny. So like I'm not tapped into a lot of like TikTok trends, but like there's this tube girl, and it's this girl who takes the tube, the subway in London, and lets her hair flow in the wind, fucking it's a whole thing. And of course like clockwork, Troye Sivan is in that fucking tube in London with Tube Girl making a TikTok to his song. Would that have happened? Let's do like the genuineness math real quick. Would that have happened if he didn't have a song to promote? Would he reach out to this girl and be like, I like your vibe. Let's just take this train together sometime. Maybe make a video. See what happens. Fuck no, he would not. He wouldn't fly to London to take the train with some random girl. No, he's doing it because he knows it's guaranteed views, guaranteed streams for his song. Maybe even people will start doing the tube girl trend to his song. Quite genius from a marketing perspective, if you ask me. But it goes to show that like even big artists, like Troye Sivan has like a house in Australia, a house in LA, is so financially set. Like he's so fine. But like, alas, I don't know if it's at, because he's at the whim of his record label. I don't know if like, maybe it's just him. It's just fucking him that like wants to, blow his song up and make it a viral TikTok moment. But there's truly no one in the music industry that is like exempt from this. There's very few artists that are able to just literally create music, release it, go on tour, and have that be that. Which is how most artists have been and have been able to enjoy their life and not be like shills to their record label. One really kind of like backwards example that I can think of is Mitski. Although, wait, this might be like not fully correct because I swear I had like a friend who's like Mitski's record label was like paying them to like use one of her songs. Maybe I just made that up. Maybe I'm like slandering Mitski. I'm a Mitski stan, so like no Mitski slander here. But Mitski had a kind of backwards approach to this. Like her music just blew up by itself, I think. I mean, we can't fucking know for sure in these days, but pretty sure her music naturally just came onto TikTok and was fucking huge. Like, it's actually so insane to see how widespread Mitski's music is on TikTok. Like, there's those, like, plane crash videos where it's like, why me, why not me? and it's like like Air Malaysia 412, deaths 500, and it's like every video to that one Mitski song. And like her music has just been like so interchangeable into so many different trends, and like is like almost immortal on that app, which is so crazy. Because that is like what most artists like probably get wet dreams about. They're like, oh, imagine like I just have this song that just blows up, and then like in a month it has 100 million streams on Spotify. That is like the ultimate golden carrot being dangled in front of the hungriest pig. So back to Mitski. She has that already going for her, and I feel like that almost maybe gives her some freedom to just make whatever. She doesn't need to achieve like this commercial success that she's already seen. And also, she's signed to a independent record label called Dead Oceans. And I don't think that independent record labels are like as aggressive as maybe bigger record labels in terms of forcing their artists to promote music. So, I think like if you wanted to be a happy musician, out of all the musicians that are currently doing it right now, I think like Mitski has the best case scenario right now. She doesn't need to prove anything. She doesn't need to create any TikTok viral moment, because it just naturally happens. And that's something that these record labels and a lot of these artists would kill for. And to like get into maybe the psychology of it, I don't think that these artists, like, let's take a wild, crazy fucking guess here. I don't think these artists want to be promoting their songs that heavily. I'm sure they're proud of the music they're making. There's no doubt about that. Like, obviously, if you're putting music out, it's not the most lucrative thing, okay? There's plenty of musicians that make barely any money despite having, like, millions and millions of streams. So it's like, I think most music comes from a place of passion, and there's no, like, denying that. But the extent to which it's promoted and, like, pushed out and forced on people must be very uncomfortable to these artists. I can't imagine like putting your heart and soul into like, say, like a breakup song or something that's like maybe even like traumatizing to sing about. Like, it's like a genuine piece of like heavy art, and then your record label's like, hey, just checking in, we want to see if you can twerk to it. Is it twerkable? If we can get 500 videos of good fucking booty shaking to it, we might be able to secure a few dances with some top creators in LA. Like, I am sure that's a fucking conversation that's like been had. I can only imagine how uncomfortable it would be to be an artist nowadays. And I'm very thankful that I've never... I was going to say I've never gone that route, but I'll finish this off by telling a little story how the first time that I, like, came to LA, like, as a creator was, I feel like I probably told this before, but if you watch my fucking videos, I'm giving you brain rot and dementia, so there's no way you are going to remember this. There's no way you remembered the past 5 videos I've made. So, I was flown out to LA by a record company that just slid into my emails when I was very, very small. Like, I want to say like 200,000 on TikTok. And this was like 2019. I didn't sing. I have never sang online. They literally just like sent an email being like, hey there, we're looking for creators who would love to... or they were like, have you ever thought about making music? We're looking for creators that would like to explore that side of their artistry. And so, like, I hopped on a call with them. I think I was, like, freshly 19, was just happy to get any opportunity. And, the thing came to thing, and they flew me out to LA and put me up in an Airbnb. I recorded a whole demo, which is in my notes app, which no one will ever fucking see. Like, literally not even, like, the closest people in my life have ever, like, heard it or seen it. Or maybe I put it on my Finsta once. No, I did put it on my Finsta once. But that's fucking locked up, so good luck. And I recorded, like, these 4 demo songs. It was, like, not even like singing. It was like that weird kind of, I don't even know what genre you could classify it as, like shitty, like fucking indie pop. And I just did it. This is going to sound like very like I flopped. And so I'm like trying to come up with an excuse for why I didn't actually care about it. But genuinely, I did it for the flight because I was fucking flat broke and I got flued out for free. I got an Airbnb for free and got to hang out with my friends. They offered me a record deal, which is fucking insane. And I said, I'll think about it. And then I ghosted them. So, and I will say one of the people that I mentioned is with that record label. I'm not going to say who, but one of the people that I was talked about in this episode is with that record label and are having a horrible fucking time with it. So I dodged a bullet because A, my music would have been fucking bad and was bad. And B, I would have been a literal shill promoting the song for the rest of eternity until my hair is gray. So that path was almost taken. And it really is fucking crazy that I'm like just so glad that I like never went down that route. Because like these record labels will take anyone for the most part. Like if you really just have a following, you can find a way to get in with a record label and get a deal. They might be a little bit more strict now. It was like the wild fucking west in 2019 and they were just like,
you make content? That could be viral, I smell. Let's give you a record deal.
But it was very enticing. I felt fucking stupid for turning it down. They were like basically like saying like we can like give you a house to like live and record in, you sponsor your visa, you'll move to LA, all this shit. It was like, like I had just like quit Bubba Gump like months before. So it was very insane. But I ended up turning it down because I can't fucking make music and I wasn't passionate about it. So that happened. But that's my 2 cents on the record industry. With that all being said, let's get into this week's drama. This week's drama comes from Emma Horakova, 5561. Thank you for submitting your drama. If you want me to give my 2 cents on your drama, tap in. That was really scary. I like played the video from the comment section of the YouTube video and I heard my voice and I almost threw up. But yeah, you can just comment on the YouTube video version of this podcast and give me a sentence, just a mere sentence about what's going on in your life. What do you need advice on? And I'll fix it. Licensed therapist here. Just kidding. I can't legally say that, but I'll help. Anyways, Emma said, my drama is that I found a guy on Instagram and we started chatting, and after like a week, he ghosted me. I kind of expected that, TBH. Anyways, he later on told me his dad died. So I wrote him a heartfelt message and he ghosted me again. Until I later found out that the account was my friend making fun of me. Who the fuck is your friend? Satan himself? That's insane. I'm so sorry that you know this succubus of a human. The fucking lore, like, hello, the useless lore of building that up saying said person's dad died, what the fuck. Definitely cut that person out. I think they genuinely might be a psychopath. That is like, that's not even, that's like the meme where it's like, it's just a prank, bro, the prank colon, and then it's fucking that's crazy. I'm so sorry. Cut them out. Irredeemable person. But I wish the best for you, not for them. Wish hellfire and thunder for them. I love you all so much. I really have been feeling it recently, and I hope you have been feeling my love for you, because it's a lot. And I'll see you next Wednesday. New profile picture check on my main channel. Hey. Okay. Bye.